Paris is not an affirmative force. It simply reoccupies the space vacated by the light.
This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
And Urban Family Talk.
It should be uncomfortable for a believer to live as a hypocrite.
Delivering people out of the bondage of mainstream media.
And the philosophies of this world.
God has called you and me to be his ambassadors. Even in this dark moment. Let's not miss our moment.
And now, the Hamilton Corner.
Good evening. Welcome to the Hamilton Corner here on American Family Radio and Urban Family Talk. Abraham Hamilton III here, your host, joined by Mr. Tross on my right, Mr. Reed on my left, the brethren known as J Squared. And here on this day where literally history is being made, Secretary of State Mike Pompeo is making progress in the conversations with the North Koreans. There are lots of things happening all around the country, but as you are making your way, excuse me, from your part-time jobs, you know, what you do outside of your home, most of us, to generate income, to help keep that monetary engine running, I call that your part-time jobs. As you make your way from there, most of you, to your full-time jobs, I'm appreciative that I get to accompany you on that journey. And what do I mean by a full-time job? Well, we're full-time husbands, fathers, wives, mothers, brothers, sisters, sons, and daughters. That's what we are full-time. And we never, never want to sacrifice functionality and fruitfulness in our full-time jobs for what we do outside of our families. You never want to forget that the first ministry that every believer is called to is the ministry of the family. The ministry of the family. All too often, we sacrifice the family on the altar of ministry externally, not realizing that God has given us the internal capacity to execute his great commission. So we don't want to neglect that, because you know what happens, as Psalms 127 says, that as we tend to that heritage of the Lord, children are our heritage of the Lord, as we go forward, as we progress in time, we ended up enjoying that expanded battalion to where we will not be put to shame when we, standing shoulder to shoulder with those who we originally poured into, as disciples, are able to stand shoulder to shoulder with us as disciples as we contend with the enemy in the gate. So, it's a worthy encouragement, which I like to remind us all about on a daily basis. Well, I want to start with something that's been on my heart, and I asked the Lord to help me to communicate this clearly. And I'm going to start in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 12 through 18, and to articulate this point, and I'm going to pit that up against what we see in the preamble to the Constitution. And you'll hear what I'm talking about as we do that. So 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 12 through 18 is where I'm going to begin. This is the second epistle of the Apostle Paul to the Corinthian believers in Paul's letter. So here we go. Since we have such a hope, we are very bold, not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face so that the Israelites might not gaze at the outcome of what was being brought to an end. But their minds were hardened, for to this day, when they read the old covenant, that same veil remains unlifted, because only through Christ is it taken away. Yes, to this day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their hearts. But when one turns to the Lord, or the King James says, but when it comes to the Lord, the veil is removed. Now, the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Now, the Apostle Paul is using a combination of features from the First Testament, the old covenant, where first and foremost, the experience where Moses, after he descended from the mountaintop, that his face shone with such glory that his fellow Israelites could not withstand that glory. So they're like, Moses, you're shining too bright, my man. Please put a veil over your face because it's too bright for us. And the Apostle Paul used that to say that when it comes to reading the old covenant, that many of the Hebrews had that a similar veil over their eyes because they could not understand that even the old covenant scriptures point to Jesus Christ. And Paul states it explicitly, because it is only through Christ that the veil is lifted. Then Paul makes a declarative statement, which I say all the time that where the Spirit of the Lord is, or I say where the Spirit is Lord, there is freedom, there is liberty. And I say all the time, the Holy Spirit is not a gift. The Holy Spirit is not tongues. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. That freedom is not freedom to run around, get hot, get sweaty, fall out, and jump around. It's actually freedom to thrive in the Christian life. It is the empowerment to live and execute the Christian life. And then he goes on to say this, and this just, man, this just stirs my heart. Because in verse 18, he says, so now we all with unveiled face. Remember, Matthew chapter 27, verse 51. The veil in the temple was rent from top to bottom, knowing the dimensions of the temple, its width, its height. That you know that this was not the feature of any common man. The thickness of that veil, as it was interwoven with those strands of various linen, that it was God signifying that no longer does any man need to go through an intermediary to get access to him. For we who are Christ's followers have been made a generation, a genos of kings and priests in the Lord. So now with unveiled face, with no partition, we don't have to have any type of sunglasses, no blue blockers. We behold the glory of the Lord. And Paul indicates, and we are transformed, metamorpho, a continuous process, which is why I say if you're in the Christian life and you're not growing, something is wrong, because we are continuously to be transformed. That transformation is not a one and done. It's supposed to happen until we meet Christ face to face. We are being transformed into the image from glory to glory as we behold it, Paul declares that. So the reality is the primary way that we become negative, if you will, in our growth is we take our eyes off Jesus. You know, we become distracted, which is why I rebuke kind of sternly what I refer to as professional Christianity. You know, the fire for the Lord that's often present when we are first converted, over time it wanes when we become professional Christians. Y'all know what I'm talking about. The professional Christians, the buttoned-up suit and tie Christians, you know, the Sunday go-to-meeting Christians, to where we become skillful and executive-level churchianity adherents, as opposed to the resurrected Christ being worthy of the esteem and glory that he deserves. He kind of fades to the background. We allow him to fade to the background, and we replace him with our familiarity with church culture. Not to realize many times it's the culture of church that strangles the life out of the Christian. But it is as we behold that glory of God, we are transformed from glory to glory. And I just want to, and I have my children to memorize the preamble to the Constitution. It says this, that we the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union. Now remember, the preamble is the introductory statement to the Constitution as to why the Founding Fathers are creating this preamble or creating this Constitution. It says, we the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, to establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, and promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America. So in order to form a more perfect union, the founders clearly saw themselves as not being the end of the establishment of a nation that is growing in its betterment. They saw themselves at the beginning. They wholeheartedly expected that those of us who would come behind them in the United States of America, that we would make it better as we continue to grow. Now, why am I saying all of this? I'll give you a little bit of the backstory just in my own mind. Because I couldn't understand. I talked about Roseanne in her comments yesterday. I couldn't understand why there were people who were Christians, and notice I say Christians before I say conservatives, who felt duty-bound to a degree to defend Roseanne's comments. And I'm saying, first of all, she ain't a Christian. Second of all, she certainly ain't conservative, which I warned about on the show. I won't rehash all of that. But what is it about it? And you know, just thinking about it and jostling it around and praying through it. And it's not only that, other comments, like some of the comments that President Trump has made, that clearly are inappropriate. No, clearly, you know, why is it so hard for sometimes Christians to say, well, that was wrong, without at the same time completely denouncing the entirety of the presidency? And I realize why. You know, I believe I realize why. And then when I open the phone lines, we'll be open to let you to hear what you have to say when we open the phone lines. The reality is there are real forces and real people in the world who are, as I described them, regressives. Regressivism is a bipartisan institution. They have Republican regressives and Democrat regressives, which is why I refer to them all as Republicrats. All right? As Calvin Coolidge once said, anybody who would deny the principles enshrined by the founders that really are upholding biblical principles, they can't claim that they're progressing anything. They are regressive. They are turning backwards. But because of these strong forces that are anti-Christianity, they are anti-biblical marriage, they are anti the preservation of the sanctity of human life from conception until natural expiration, they're anti all of these things. There are people in the higher echelons of elitism that genuinely have a desire to destroy America. It's the truth. Now, the facts are that's not all people who espouse regressive ideology. Some of them, man, the time is going too fast. Some of them who adhere to some of the ideas of regressivism, they're not at the top where they want to destroy America. They just are deceived, many of them. But regardless, that those of us who are Christians often feel like we need to fight to protect the country. You know, we have to fight for this republic, that this American republic that I would agree with you based on Acts 17 that God has established. But what I want to encourage us to do is to understand how to fight. In our Pledge of Allegiance, how do we pledge to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands? One nation, and I'm going to skip something here, because a part of the virtues we announce in our Pledge of Allegiance is indivisibility, the inability to be divided, indivisibility, with freedom and justice. But there's something that is in our Pledge of Allegiance that precedes any mentioning of indivisibility, of liberty and justice. What is it? One nation under God. Under God, if we truly want to fight to preserve this American Republic, if we truly want indivisibility and freedom and to remain a nation of justice, we must not allow ourselves to be removed from being under God. If you truly love this country, if you truly want to fight for it, the best thing you can do is hold her up to the biblical standards of righteousness. Now, this is not an advocacy for the establishment of a theocracy. But what I'm saying is by remaining gap standards, by remaining watchmen on the wall, by remaining those of us who adhere to the biblical notions of justice, rejecting the temptation, the human temptation to partiality, that we call Bible things by Bible names, that no matter who it is, if they do something that violates scripture, we just say it right out. Which is why I can say, you know, if President Trump uses expletives on the national stage, I can say that was wrong for him to do. While at the same time say that the policies that he's advocating for are better for the country. I can walk and chew gum at the same time because my allegiance is vertical. First, the best way to fight for indivisibility and liberty and justice is by remaining under God, which is why the Apostle Paul said, where the Spirit is Lord, there is freedom. The best way to fight for freedom is to continue to fight for the Lordship of Jesus Christ. To continue to stand for Christian values, to continue to stand for Christian virtues, continue to hold ourselves accountable in light of the standard that we should be held to. The best way to remain, you know, externally fruitful is to continue to measure ourselves by the plumb line. Would I be able to come on this program and use foul language? No. I wouldn't want to do it. Why? Because it would cut against my ability to be a witness for the King. So when we see these things, let's make sure we remember that what we want to fight for is to remain under God. Because as a result of remaining under God, we will be able to pursue liberty and justice and indivisibility. But the moment we get those things out of kilter to where we seek to fight for the union, but we allow ourselves to become separated from the relationship that freedom has to the Lord of freedom, we allow ourselves to get out of balance. So in short, my encouragement is, if we really love this country, we have to love the God whose sovereignty allowed the nation to be formed first. Because if we are going to fulfill this execution of a more perfect union, we must make sure we remain under God. That is the key to maintaining liberty.
abortion center continues without a license. I am Matt Staver with Freedom's Call. The infamous abortionist James Pendergraft IV was convicted for driving around South Carolina while handing out medication and marijuana without a state-issued medical license. He also had dirty abortion tools in his car. He pled guilty to 10 counts of drug possession, but he didn't serve any time in jail after his conviction. Florida revokes medical licenses if someone is even arrested on criminal charges. This affected 4 abortion clinics under Pendergraft. However, the one in Fort Lauderdale is still performing abortions without a license. We call upon the Florida Attorney General and local law enforcement to do their job. I encourage you to contact them and demand they enforce the law. We must stop the slaughter of innocent unborn children. We must make the womb a safe place again. Please pray and stay informed at Liberty Counsel's website, lc.org.
Come join Sandy Rios for a walk back in time when she was a young grieving mom, discovering firsthand how God's strength is made perfect in weakness. The music of Sasha's song, Sandy Rios' first album project, is a reminder of God's faithfulness.
Would God sustain us through the years?
Produced by John Ennis of the Billy Graham Crusade with members of the Indianapolis Orchestra, this beautiful music will lift your heart.
Like peering through a window blurred with rain, emotions run together in a flood of doubt and pain. For He is able.
Available on CD at afastore.net.
If we're talking about a president who is attacking the free press for being free, for being able to write critical things about the government, attacking that kind of free press for that reason would be outrageous, but that's not what's going on here.
Catch Janet Mefford live.
Much of the media, CNN for example, can rightly be painted as a tool of the DNC, propagandizing and lying to the American people.
Weekdays at noon central on American Family Radio.
Is that a wonderful press, or is that a press that needs to be rightly criticized for not doing its job?
Hi, I'm Abraham Hamilton III, and I am so looking forward to the AFA retreat at Big Cedar Lodge near Branson, Missouri. I'll be among speakers like Sandy Rios, Dr. Ray Pritchard, Ed DiTagliano, and our worship leader will be Dennis Jernigan. I'm especially looking forward to meeting like-minded believers as we share encouragement in Christ in that beautiful Ozark setting.
Join us for the AFA Retreat October 8th through the 11th. For more information or to register, visit afafoundation.net.
Shining light into the darkness, this is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio
and Urban Family Talk.
Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner here in American Family Radio. The entire conversation that we're having is the entire reason why the founders, when crafting the Bill of Rights, they enshrined as the first freedom, religious liberty. And remember, the Constitution was drafted in and of itself, and even after the Constitution was done, the delegates to the Constitutional Convention came back saying, man, we can't sign this. This is not enough protection against an obtrusive and encroaching, what they referred to as at time, a national federal government. So then in crafting the Bill of Rights, which was required in order to have the states ratify the Constitution, they ratify in the First Amendment religious freedom. Quite simply, because where the Spirit is Lord, there is liberty. All throughout human history, whenever the light of religious liberty was extinguished, all liberty was soon to follow. So again, the encouragement for how to navigate life as a Christian who has conservative principles, and I'll tell everybody the reason why some may describe me, and I don't describe myself as a conservative, by the way, not because I'm opposed to conservatism, but I'm just a Christian, frankly. And I believe what the Bible teaches. So because I believe what the Bible teaches, my application of those tenets to civic engagement is described in popular parlance as conservatism. But having said that, my engagement is based on a scriptural foundation. So because it is scriptural in its foundation, I recognize what's said in 2 Corinthians 3, that where the Spirit of the Lord is, and the description of the Spirit of the Lord is talking about the Holy Spirit, but it refers to the Spirit of the Lord because it's the Spirit, the Holy Spirit's lordship being applied. Wherever that is applied, The result is freedom. I love freedom because God loves freedom. And if we want, again, to preserve liberty in our nation, the most important thing we could do is make sure that we are doing our part, putting our, you know, sending up our timber, so to speak, as the old folks used to say, sending up our timber to make sure that our generation and the leg of the relay race where we have the baton, we've done all we can to remain under God. Because as our Pledge of Allegiance says, that one nation under God, the results of being under God are indivisibility, liberty, and justice. All right. Now, having said that, next Tuesday, June 5th, I've been banging this drum. If you are a person who has been frustrated by the candidates that have been presented to you in general elections, my question always been, well, what was your engagement level in the primaries? The primary elections are the elections where the citizenry of the United States has the opportunity to have the most influence. Why? Because it is the primary elections have some of the lowest participation of all elections. You could have entire states' elections being decided by 1,000 votes. I mean, the entire state's candidate slate for general elections can be determined by 1,000 votes because not many people pay attention to the primaries. Well, I want to do my part to make sure I bring that to your attention. So next Tuesday, June 5th, there are 8 states. You heard me. 8 states across the country that have primary elections. Folks, please share this with your friends, family, and loved ones. Get them engaged because what happens in the primaries will dictate what will happen in the general elections. Those states are Alabama, California, Iowa, Mississippi, Montana, New Jersey, New Mexico, and South Dakota. I'm going to say it again because I said it pretty fast. Alabama, California, Iowa, Mississippi, Montana, New Jersey, New Mexico, South Dakota. Some of those states have senatorial elections. All right? We have to be engaged. And in order to aid in the process of being informed and engaged, we have some resources at AFA Action. We have an iVoter guide that's available for you, as well as a scorecard, where you have information about all of the candidates, right? You have information about where the candidates stand on moral, social, and fiscal issues like the sanctity of life, marriage, and government spending. You have information about who funds a candidate's campaign for election. Most of us have heard the phrase, follow the money. You have people that are talking, trying to spin things to you about what they stand on. Well, a question you may want to ask is, wait, hold a minute. Hold up. Who is funding your campaign? Because who you're getting your money from will tell me a whole lot about where you really stand on these issues, right? Who's funding the campaign? Who has endorsed these various candidates? And you also have scales and scorecards that evaluate the candidates, where they stand, their worldview on various issues and items. Go to afaaction.net, afaaction.net, where we have compiled resources there to aid you in understanding exactly what's going on in this election season. All right. Now, I talked yesterday, and, you know, I didn't really want to do too much on this, but I feel like, especially in light of the program we had yesterday, talking about Roseanne Barr and highlighting the fact that if you attempt to ignore the historical record in this country of people, human beings that are image bearers, made in the image of God, who have been referred to as less than human, subhuman, animalistic, and in their appearance, which appearance has to always be distinguished from conduct. You know, I'll just say this as an aside before I get here. The President Trump's comments about MS-13, is clearly he's talking about the conduct, not the individuals. And the talking snake media would try to get you to say that he's trying to describe everybody that's an Hispanic as an animal, which, by the way, would include my wife, who's Hispanic. He's talking about the conduct. Well, I have a personal encounter with MS-13. Many of you know I started my legal career as a prosecutor in Harris County in the Houston, Texas area. Well, there, when I was in the second felony court I was assigned to in Houston, Texas, I had a chief prosecutor who was my boss, my immediate boss, who was a seasoned prosecutor and handled all types of capital murders and you name it. And My boss had tried a case that resulted in the incarceration, it resulted in the conviction, the incarceration, and the assignment to death row to a top-ranking MS-13 gang member in Houston. And he didn't like the fact that my boss was the lawyer who tried the case that resulted in him being convicted. So what does he do from prison? This is my own. I know this for a fact. From prison, this MS-13 gang member ordered a hit on my boss. Ordered that my boss be executed as well as her family because she dared to tangle with MS-13. So when you hear these descriptions about this gang activity, folks, this is not made up. The murder, the rape, the pillaging, the dismemberment, these things are factual. I won't go into much detail about the particulars of this instance that I, for a fact, know. But my boss had to have police escorts to and from work. My boss's family and children had to be guarded because of the potency of this threat from an MS-13 high-ranking gang member from prison. So you can try to act like and play like, you know, this is just a political football. But when the president describes the behavior that many of these people engage in, he's describing it accurately. Now, how many of you would like to have armed police escorts to and from work as you drop your kids off at school and things of that nature? Come on, man. We have to be honest about what's happening here. So to distinguish conduct from appearance is an important distinction that is to be made. But we have to acknowledge the fact that many people have been dehumanized in their description based on, which is why I said, if we're going to fire Roseanne, let's go to Darwin and everybody else, because their ideology is what permeated it. And I talked about the hypocrisy that it seems like the short hook is based on the public perception of your political engagement. Exhibit number one, Samantha Bee. Samantha Bee, just on the heels of the whole Roseanne debacle. And, you know, I had to catch this. I don't watch these shows. Most of television is smut anyway. If it ain't sports, I'm probably not interested. You know, I'm probably too interested in sports, I'll be honest. Which I always am, by the way. But Samantha Bee, a foul-mouthed, profane, very vile. I can't call her a comedian because she's not very funny. So a person who wants to be a comedian, but in reality, she really is just using her platform to advocate for various iterations of regressivism. She describes Ivanka Trump in the most vile terms. So I want to let you hear a little bit, and I would just want to prepare you. If you have young ones in the car, I know many people are traveling, you may want to turn it down right here, because some of this commentary, and it's bleeped out, just if anybody's wondering, it's bleeped out, but just in case you want to avoid your children picking it up on context clues, you may want to turn it down here right now. But I thought it was important for you to hear for yourselves exactly what Samantha Bee said. So, Jay, would you please play clip number two?
After decades of ignoring the issue, Americans are finally paying attention. Well, most of us. Ivanka Trump, who works at the White House, chose to post the second most oblivious tweet we've seen this week. You know, Ivanka, that's a beautiful photo of you and your child, but let me just say, one mother to another, do something about your dad's immigration practices, you feckless. He listens to you. Put on something tight and low cut and tell your father to stop it. Tell him it was an Obama thing and see how it goes.
Now, you heard that. You heard that, right? Yeah. Again, I'll say this, and of course, you know, if you listen to the program, I would never defend Roseanne's comments. I won't defend her at all. I mean, she's a foul person herself. But Samantha Bee's show wasn't an off-the-cuff tweet. Samantha Bee's show is filled with writers who scripted out her show, including these comments you just heard, which, you know, I don't know how much worse you can get. A feckless C word? Really? And a lot of people are focusing on her reference to the feckless C word, but they're ignoring. She then says to Ivanka Trump to put on something low cut. Really, Samantha? In this Me Too moment, put on something low cut and go and talk to your father. So who really are the misogynists? Who really are the ones who are really very comfortable with objectifying women and saying whatever they want? Oh, I get it. Because you only get the short hook if your political orientations are perceived publicly as being anti-regressive. Samantha Bee's show has writers who sat down and put this trash on paper, then edited it, come back, and look to one another and say, we think we have good show here. Mm-hmm. We have good content. Mm-hmm. Many laughs. Mm-hmm. Then they go into a studio and record the program and edit that. And then the studio executives look around at each other and go, Samantha Bee, funny. Ha, ha, ha. They don't have any problem with these kind of comments at all. Did you hear the audience? Yeah. And then she records the show and they air the show after the Roseanne comments, right? So what happens? Of course, TBS and Samantha Bee use the Twitter machine to apologize. Samantha Bee tweets, I would like to sincerely apologize to Ivanka Trump and to my viewers for using an expletive on my show to describe her last night. It was inappropriate and inexcusable. I crossed the line and I deeply regret it. Really? You think she regrets it? She regrets it just about as much as Hillary Clinton regrets the deplorables comments that she doubles down on after she loses the election, by the way. And these folks are saying exactly what they believe, exactly what they feel, exactly what they think. Exactly. TBS, their apology. Quote, Samantha Bee has taken the right action in apologizing for the vile and inappropriate language she used about Ivanka Trump last night. Those words should not have been aired. It was our mistake too, and we regret it. You see the same thing? It's our mistake and we regret it. They're both saying the exact same thing. You notice they only comment about the expletive. They don't comment about, neither of them mention the insinuation that Ivanka Trump and her father are in an incestuous relationship. They don't have any problems with that. Not at all. They don't have any problems with saying, hey, wear something low cut and go in there to get the job done. Isn't that interesting? So we see these tweeted apologies, but anybody heard anything about Samantha Bee being fired? Anyone? Before I came on the show? No, I hadn't heard anything. Oh, in fact, the organization, the Television Academy, that puts on the Emmy Awards, they're scheduled to give Samantha Bee an award. Think I'm making it up? Jason, please play clip number 3.
The group behind the Emmy Awards is set to honor comic Samantha Bee after her Ivanka Trump slur. She referred to the president's daughter as a feckless C-word on her TBS show Full Frontal Wednesday at the end of a segment about President Trump's immigration policy. She urged Ivanka to speak to her father about such policies that separate children from their parents, telling her to put on something tight and low cut and tell your father to expletive, stop it. The Television Academy is set to honor Bee later today. A statement on the Academy's website reads, for its dedication to making the audience laugh while making it think, the Television Academy is proud to include Full Frontal with Samantha Bee in the Television Academy honors. White House Press Secretary Sarah Sanders on Thursday called Bee's language vile and vicious and said executives at TBS and corporate parent Time Warner must demonstrate that such explicit profanity about female members of this administration will not be condoned. There was no immediate comment from TBS on Thursday.
So it really seems like, depending on your apparent or perceived political leanings, some get the short hook, others, we'll take the apology and keep on trucking. Now, you know what's going to be the most interesting to watch? I wonder if Samantha Bee's ratings will dip as a result of this. You want to know what the hunch I have? I bet her ratings will go up. Why? Because her audience knows how crude and vile she is, yet they watch the show anyway. So who really tolerates incivility?
Okay, here's the big question with regard to any big decision. Is this going to work? Well, if you've heard about MediShare, a brilliant way of sharing healthcare costs, you may have wondered that. Yeah, but does it actually work? So did Dr. Stuart Hoover, who initially joined to save a lot of money. The typical family saves about $500 a month. Stuart saved even more.
When we first joined MediShare, we were immediately going from a little over $1,600 a month down to $460 basically a month.
So that's wonderful. But then his wife needed emergency surgery. The bills added up to $160,000.
So we were seeing the bills coming in, and then the bills were being paid. Portions were being shared. And the end result of this is this bill was taken care of.
Yes, MediShare works. And it's so easy to get your questions answered. Why not? You can call right now. Just hit **345. That's **345, **345.
Hi, I'm David Barton, founder of Wall Builders.
And I'm Tim Barton, the president of Wall Builders. And we want to let you know about an opportunity this summer for 18 to 25-year-olds to come be a part of what we're calling the Leadership Training Program. Actually, the website is wallbuilders.com/leadership training if you want to see more information. But really what we're doing is trying to help young people combat a lot of the nonsense they're learning in academia, things that are anti-American or anti-the Bible. And so we actually dig into the Bible. We dig into American history and the Constitution and education and try to give a really good inoculation against some of the things that they're hearing in academics.
Yeah, Tim, you're exactly right. This is such an excellent opportunity to have the apologetics of the things that they'll face in academia and the culture. So if you're from 18 to 25 years old and you want training in this, and by the way, you get to actually hold the handwritten documents of George Washington and John Adams and other aspects of American history, this is a great opportunity this summer. 2 weeks, go to wallbuilders.com/leadership training. Hope to see you this summer.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Stearns with news and commentary next. It had been a good day for the Boise Black Knights. The teenage boys had won a major football tournament in San Jose, California, and they celebrated that championship on the long ride back home. But their celebration was short-lived. A car rolled over on US 95. The football caravan pulled over to lend a helping hand. The coaches and the teenage boy sprang into action, pulling an injured man from the wreckage. But a second person was trapped upside down. They cut her seatbelt, but the lady was still stuck. And that's when something spectacular happened. The boys, all under the age of 18, lifted the overturned car and rescued the motorist. One of the young men told ABC News they were just doing what their coach would have wanted them to do, help others out before yourself. The Black Knights of Boise, Idaho, champions and heroes. I'm Todd Stearns.
The Hamilton Corner podcast and one-minute commentaries are available at AFR.net and UrbanFamilyTalk.com. Back to the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio and Urban Family Talk.
Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner here on American Family Radio and Urban Family Talk. We will open the phone lines this segment. I see some people already calling. The number to do so is 888-589-8840. The number again to call is 888-589-8840. If you want to weigh in on anything we've talked about, we've discussed that the true touchstone of liberty is remaining under God as a nation. We've talked a bit about, you know, Samantha Bee's reckless verbiage not resulting in her termination at this point. Wonder what's going to happen next. And I wonder if her ratings will dip at all. I'm pretty sure Roseanne's ratings probably would have dipped some if they'd have kept her on the air. But I wonder if that's going to happen with the Bee of Samantha. Not so sure. So if you want to weigh in, you feel free to do so. And before we get to the callers, I have to get to this because, as you all know, this week, Starbucks, earlier this week, they had their day to close their stores for implicit bias training. And Alveda King, niece of Dr. Martin Luther King, had some interesting information to share with the nation by simply saying that if Starbucks is really interested and addressing racism, they probably should stop funding Planned Parenthood, because of course Planned Parenthood is an organization started by Margaret Sanger, who was known, a robust record of her rank hatred for people of darker skin like myself, who she sought to completely eliminate with a genocidal penchant. Yet money is given to Planned Parenthood directly by Starbucks. Nearly 80% of Planned Parenthood surgical centers are within walking distance of minority communities all across the country, where it's pretty clear that Planned Parenthood today is continuing on with the vision of its founder, Margaret Sanger. And Dr. Alveda King said, well, if you really care, Starbucks, you probably should stop funding Planned Parenthood. Jason, if you would, play clip number one. Before you play it, let me say this. Because Starbucks' CEO, Kevin Johnson, not to be confused with Phoenix's point guard, was asked about it, and he said, oh, we're giving money to Planned Parenthood? Me didn't know that. Go ahead and play clip number one.
I don't know if you saw Martin Luther King Jr.'s niece op-ed in the Washington Examiner, and she says, if Starbucks wants to end racism, it will stop funding Planned Parenthood. You're going to stop funding Planned Parenthood?
Well, I'm not aware that we do fund Planned Parenthood, so I haven't read the op-ed, and I can't comment on that.
Okay.
But I'm not aware that we do that.
Well, Alveda King says Starbucks had racism in its corporate identity long before the April arrest. Through its corporate donations, it contributes to one of the most racist organizations in our nation's history, Planned Parenthood, the largest single provider of abortions in the United States. And again, this is from Alveda King in the Washington Examiner.
Well, I'm not aware of it. You know, what I do am aware of and do believe in is that we want to create a great customer experience for every customer that visits our stores. And yesterday's investment in this training was all about a foundational event, and it was about investing in the future of Starbucks.
This dude, the CEO of the corporation, want to tell me that he don't know that they're giving money to Planned Parenthood? Come on, Chief. Three times this dude said,
well, I'm not aware of that. Is it getting hot in here, or is it just me? Let me take a sip of my water, because
I'm not aware that as the CEO of the corporation, you don't know the way y'all giving money to. Come on, man. He got caught on the hot seat. And if you really cared, you would do this. But no, you didn't have any problem. It's a well-known and well-established fact. Long reported. For example, Life News has long reported that Starbucks is one of 37 corporations that gives money directly to Planned Parenthood, among like Nike, Avon, Bank of America, Bath & Body Works, Ben & Jerry's, a list of others. They all give money to Planned Parenthood, but he doesn't know. These people... He tried to pull the political line. Oh, I haven't read the op-ed, so I can't comment on that. Man, she's not asking you to comment on the op-ed. She's asking you to comment on the expenditures, the corporate expenditures of the company of which you are the chief executive officer. That's why I call you chief. If you don't know where you're spending your money, chief, you probably don't need to be closing your short stores down for implicit bias training. If you really want to stamp it out, you probably should stop giving money to people who kill people. I digress. Let's go to the phone line, shall we? We'll start in Oklahoma with Walter. Walter, thank you for calling the Hamilton Corner. Welcome to the program.
All right. Thank you, sir. My comment is that Roseanne got so much heat because she's picked on a progressive, a member of Obama's cabinet. If it had been the other way around, when she had talked about a conservative, she wouldn't have got fired. Like the guy who was one man standing because he poked at political correctness, they canceled his show. So then some people try to say, you know, that they support free speech, but, you know, that no one should get fired, but yet it should be across the board. Mm-hmm. So the mistake she made was that she criticized a person that worked for Obama, and that's just my spin on it.
Yeah, Walter, thank you very much for your call and your comments. Walter is basically saying that Roseanne was canned because she took aim at a member of the Obama administration, whereas if Roseanne would have took aim at a conservative, then she would not have been terminated. You know, her show would not have been canceled. You know, and he might be right. I mean, I think it's obvious that there is a bias here. And again, not to defend the remarks, Roseanne's remarks are indefensible. Indefensible, right? But she was terminated for them. because of the political invectives. And he made reference to The Last Man Standing, the show by Tim Allen, and his show taking aim at political correctness, and he too is terminated. Well, I used the contrast yesterday. Though they terminated Roseanne at ABC, Disney, which owns ABC and ESPN, hired Keith Olbermann. They have no problem with him. No, not at all. None at all. ABC also hosted Jimmy Kimmel's show. Had no problem with him, even though he literally did a minstrel show type blackface caricature of Karl Malone. But they hired him after he did that. Seems leaning one particular way, if you ask me. Again, if you want to be a part of the program, you want to weigh in, you have a question or comment, you're welcome to call 888-589-8840. That number again is 888-589-8840. We'll go next to the great state of Texas, where Wes is on the line. Wes, thank you for calling the Hamilton Corner. Welcome to the program.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for taking my call. I have two comments. Actually, I forgot my first one, but
sorry.
Anyway, every time they attack the president, it makes us look like idiots. We should be a united front. Even if you don't respect the man, you should respect the office. So attacking the president should not be allowed to happen. I don't know how you stop it. I know the First Amendment, but actually the First Amendment doesn't exactly apply to cases like Samantha Bee.
Right.
It applies to, yeah, it doesn't apply to that. So every time you attack him, it just makes us look ridiculous. And as far as the comment about the looking like a monkey and whatever, I mean, that shouldn't really be a big deal, man. I look like a silverback gorilla, man, literally. I mean, my knuckles drag the ground. So, I mean, it shouldn't have mattered that much. You know what I mean?
I hear you, Wes. I hear exactly what you're saying. And obviously, saying one thing in context makes a difference. But I also think it's important to note, now whether or not this was in Roseanne's mind or her heart at the time, I don't know. You know, she said vile things in the past, so I don't know where her mind and her heart was. And I understand what you're saying about comments shouldn't be taken to heart. But I also think we as a country cannot ignore the specific usages of references to apes to dehumanize various people groups. I mean, it was done early on to the Italians. It was done potently to, you know, darker skinned people in this country, inferring that they could take more pain. They can work longer hours because they were more ape like, you know. And so those things I think we should be aware of. But at the same time, I don't think we should allow political correctness to keep us from being able to have a conversation. OK, so that's where things are. You know, and I think it's patently obvious that the public scorn and disdain is kind of a one-way direction on the tolerance street. Back to the phone lines we go. Next to Missouri, where Brenton is on the line. Brenton, welcome to the Hamilton Corner. Are you there, Brenton? Are you there? I don't know where Brenton meant. Maybe we'll get him back on the line. Well, I don't want to share that. I have so many different things, but I only have a little bit of time. I'll go with this story, and I'll probably have to spend more time expounding on this later on, because I've been warning about these types of things happening. Well, it's coming down now in Oregon. You have a church in Oregon that's now being sued because they refused to host an LGBT event. What am I talking about? An Oregon business has filed a complaint against a church that prohibited it from hosting an LGBT event in a building owned by the church, claiming that the fallout from that decision has harmed the company. So in 2015, an organization by the name of Ambridge Event Center, they do various events, they had once rented out a space owned by the Holy Rosary Catholic Church for various events. Well, this Ambridge Event Center was compelled by the church to reject an LGBT event that they wanted to host at the Holy Rosary Church's facility. Well, the church saying that it is our doctrinal position that we do not allow our facilities to be used for same-sex events, had to compel the Ambridge Event Center to reject that particular engagement. Well, as we know, as it's happening, the Ambridge Center ended up being complained against. They then go out and apologize, but that wasn't enough. They filed suit against the church, seeking $2.3 million in damages, saying their corporate reputation has been harmed, that they were, you know, what's the word? I just lost it. That they were, you know, required to deny them on a whim, as if the church doesn't have standards, as if the church doesn't have standards. And this is why I've said, as many churches as I talk to, I've encouraged them in this post-Obergefell moment to adopt facility usage policies, that the events that the church hosts are extensions of the ministerial obligations, so that it allows them to be closer to First Amendment protection. But I'll get into this more so in a later program, because I've been holding it because I want to do a more full discussion on it. But we'll go back to the phone line set to Alabama. I'm going to go to Alabama to Joe from Alabama. Joe, thank you for calling the Hamilton Corner. Welcome to the program.
My work schedule and all has been preventing me from listening to you very much lately, and I do apologize. But
well, Joe, we got to fix that, man.
I know. I'm endeavoring to. Listen,
I'm just kidding.
It's a hard break. But listen, in my opinion, and I want your professional opinion here, there seems to be a dramatic double standard between, I don't know some of the names, I'm not that up on the names, but I know the circumstances.
Uh-huh.
That lady that just got fired this week,
yes,
seems to me like she was treated far more harshly than that other lady at the correspondence dinner that was so low rating.
Yeah.
The Huckabee lady.
Yeah. No, you're right, Joe. So you're talking about Roseanne, who was fired this week, versus Cheryl Wolf. I mean, is her name Cheryl? Cheryl Wolf, the other not-so-funny comedian. And again, it seems like the Wolf lady's stock is rising amongst those who want to secure her services. And it's clear that it is a politically-oriented hypocrisy, that if you take aim, at liberals and you are perceived as a conservative. That's why I said perceived, because Roseanne is not a conservative, but she was perceived that way by many in the talking snake media, because they, you know, they live on their own island. So anything, you know, right of Pluto is conservative to them, you know. But there clearly is this apparent bias, this double standard that we can't ignore. You can't ignore. And in addition to not being treated more harshly than Wolf, Samantha Bee now has a host of celebrities rallying around her. Sally Field, and I will not repeat what Sally Field said in her defense of Samantha Bee, but of course, Kathy Griffin and a host of other regressive politicians are rallying around Samantha Bee to support, protect, and defend her, saying all types of things to say she should not be facing this harsh backlash. Which once again reveals this tangled web of regressivism, because here you all go on one hand wanting to launch off like Starbucks and shut down their stores, but they're giving money to Planned Parenthood that kills black babies, kills dark babies, dark-skinned babies. And then you have, you know, the same people who are beating the drums, fire Roseanne, fire Roseanne, fire Roseanne, and some of that same group is like, no, Samantha Bee, protect Samantha Bee. Which brings me really full circle back to where I started the program. You don't have to worry about this type of inconsistency and contradiction when we're making sure our chief priority is the Lord.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.